tonight we're going to be looking at the prodigal son. And I know you've heard this taught, or if you've been in church, you've heard this taught. But we're going to look at it to see the older brother and to see what jealousy can do. And so before we even start, I want to give you some definitions of jealousy. Because what we'd like to do is to set people free from being jealous and to let people see how horrible this is. So, first of all, let me say in Exodus 34:14 that one of the names for God is jealous. He's actually calls himself jealous. And the reason that God alone is the only one who can really have that name is because the whole idea of jealous is about ownership. He's jealous of that which he owns. Now, if you heard the teaching that we've been doing lately about the reality that there is really not this scale of superior and inferior, you know, the world lives on this in this counterfeit way of thinking about things called superior and inferior. And you're constantly trying to be superior. And they call that contending. You're contending to be superior. And the Lord put on my heart, people even contend just not to be inferior. Some people don't even have a hope of being superior. They've bought such a lie about who they are. They've bought such a lie. There's so much bitterness in their heart that they really don't think they could be superior. And they're just hanging on by a thread not to be inferior. Just, Lord, let me be better than someone. Let me just at least be better than someone. And when you have that kind of thinking, you know, you have a bitterness towards the Lord. You don't really understand the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't understand how much he loves you. And you're really living in this entire way of thinking that is not from God. And so the Holy Spirit has been helping myself and the ministry Beauty for Ashes to get free from this wrong thinking. And it's just so wonderful to get free from that. And so when you see this superior and inferior way of thinking, you constantly compare yourself to others, which the Bible says is not wise to do that. You try to find the things that you do. You try to find the money that you have or maybe the way that you look. You look for anything that you think is better than someone else. And then there's some people who actually believe that there's nothing in their life that's not inferior to everyone else. And those people live a life just constantly striving to like themselves. There's so much self-hate if you find yourself as one of the people who feels inferior. And then for the people who think they're all that, the Bible says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And that was, I was one of those people. And some of you are one of those people in certain areas and not in other areas. But that's a haughty spirit. That's a constantly striving to be greater than everyone else. And it's using your gifts, your talents, your personality, your looks, anything that anyone has ever told you, you know, that was good about you, and putting that thing out there for everyone to see it, to prove to yourself, you know, that you're superior. And when you live in that place of haughty, you actually put people down. You actually hurt people. You actually keep this scale going in people's minds. They're trying to compare themselves to you. They want to be a part of your ministry. They want, they want to live looking for your approval and your acceptance. And that's touching the glory that belongs to God. That's taking advantage of people. And so I just really encourage everyone to really ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Just ask the Holy Spirit to show you how you can get completely free from comparing yourself to others, from the lies of bitterness. And we have lots of teaching tapes at Beauty for Ashes Ministries. You can go on our website at beautyforashes.org, and we'll put all that information up before the end of the program. But you can go there and actually listen to teaching that we have audio teachings on there. There's also over 100 and some teachings on there to help you get free from these areas. So if you struggle with low self-esteem, if you struggle with feeling like a victim, if you struggle with feeling inferior, if you struggle with being feeling superior and haughty and truthfully, most people don't struggle with that. They like that, and we'll be talking about that too during this broadcast. But I'm telling you, they're both horrible because they both pervert who God is in people's thinking. And so I asked the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, if you're not into this superior, inferior, comparing, ranking ourselves, and it's obviously you're not, you say in the word you're not into that, what is that? And the Lord put on my heart, it's a counterfeit. Satan has made a counterfeit in the world system of something that's real in the kingdom. So I'm sitting here going, what could it be in the kingdom of God? What could it be in heaven? What could it be that was God's original intention even when he made the creation of the world and man? What was in the heart of God? What is the real? And the Holy Spirit placed in my heart, it's creator and creation. And at first I thought, that's so simple. You know, creator and creation over superior, inferior, and all the things in between. That just seems like such a big thing. And this is kind of simple. Creator, creation. It's really simple when you look at it. Okay, creator. Who is the creator? Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, and the Holy Spirit. And just to put it out there, Buddha isn't the creator. Muhammad isn't the creator. And then any false god in a false religion and a false way of thinking isn't truly the creator. There really is only one creator. It's our awesome God. And he consists of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to get into all that. We have a powerful teaching coming out of 1 Peter on this entire revelation. Because you know it's true. The Bible says very clearly that everything was created by Jesus, for Jesus, and through Jesus Christ. So he's much more than what? Much more than a prophet or a teacher or even a man. He's so much greater than that. He will always be the creator, even though he came in the flesh so that he could rescue us, so that he could come and set us free from Satan and that whole kingdom of darkness. Wow, what an awesome God that the creator himself would come in the flesh to set us free. That is just awesome. I just even want to stop and thank him right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you came to set everyone free who's listening to this. You came to set everyone free in all the world. The true creator came and just clothed himself in his own creation so that he could fellowship with us, so that he could set us free, so that he could minister to us. And he doesn't really care at all what religion you are, just that you find him. That you find him. And he's just so awesome. But anyway, so I thought, wow, Lord, set me free in my thinking from this revelation and darkness of superior and inferior and comparing and hiding and stupors even in there. Stupors like a hideout place where I'm just not going to compare myself. You can't make me. And in that place, you lose vision. You have no ambition. You become indifferent. That's not where you want to be either. And so God is just so awesome as he sets us free. And you know, that's what Beauty Fractious Ministries is about. It's about Jesus Christ, who undid all the works of the enemy, becoming real by his Holy Spirit working through us to give us revelation that lifts up Jesus so that all people can be drawn to the cross. They can be drawn to Jesus and find complete deliverance from this world's way of thinking. You know, we wear ourselves out in this. We just wear yourself out in that. And so when I was studying this and looking at this, and like I said, we have a lot more teaching on this, you have to realize that God himself, as it says in Exodus 34:14, his name is jealous because God himself, Jehovah God, he alone is the creator. And therefore, the entire creation belongs to him. And he is the one who can be jealous for this creation. And all other jealousy is demonic. All other jealousy is control, it's manipulation, it's possessiveness, and it's trying to take from God what belongs to him alone. And we've got some teaching on that also. I don't know if we're going to get into that too much tonight. Listen to this. The word for envy Envy is resentfully suspicious of a rival or a rival's influence. Envy and jealousy will demand exclusive loyalty. It demands exclusive loyalty. This all came out of one of the old Webster dictionaries. It has a lot of resentfulness to it. There's a lot of resentment. Envy is a desire to surpass or to equal someone else. It's a contending and a striving to be better than others. Some of the things that are under envy is a dislike of another who has something that you desire. It's a desire for a possession or advantage belonging to another person. It's a feeling of discontent and ill will because of another's advantages and positions. And once again, it's constantly keeping you on that path, in that cycle. Why do they have that and I don't have that? How come they're getting that? Why are they being blessed? And so, you know, in this next few minutes, I really want us to look at this story in Luke 15 and just begin to ask God to get this jealous heart out of us and to set us free from envy and to begin to understand God a little more. So I'm going to start in Luke 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me that part of the inheritance that belongs to me. And he divided the inheritance. And not many days after, gathering up all things, the younger son went away to a distant country and lived a wild life. But having spent all his money, all his things, all his inheritance, a severe famine came throughout that country, and he began to be in need. And going, he was joined to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. So the son had all this money. He's living this wild life. He's doing whatever he wants. And then all of a sudden, there's no more money. All of a sudden, there's no real jobs. And he finds himself feeding pigs. Verse 16, and he longed to fill his stomach from the husk which the pigs ate, but no one gave to him. He became so desperate that he actually wanted to eat the food he was feeding to the pigs. But coming to himself, and I'm going to talk to you right now, I think many of you need to come to yourself. You need to get out of the pig pen. You need to quit living the life of the world and come back to God or find Jesus Christ in a real way. Get rid of the entire way of thinking that keeps you running after the next party, the next dollar, the next new toy on the market. And want something that's real in God. Come to yourself. And so we see here he comes to himself. And then he thinks and he says, how many servants of my father have plenty of loaves? And here I am perishing with famine. So rising up, I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And so rising up, he came to his father. But he, yet being far away, his father saw him, was moved with compassion, and running, he fell on his neck, on his son's neck, and fervently kissed him. In other words, when the father just caught a glimpse of his son returning home, he wasn't angry at him. He wasn't wanting to punish him and hurt him. And that's how our Heavenly Father is. Some of you listening right now, you need to come to God. Maybe you grew up hearing about Jesus, and maybe you went to church, but you know, once you hit the college days or whatever, it all became about living for the lust of the flesh. All of a sudden, it was about money and it was about, you know, the next party. And God just wants you to know, and you're afraid to go back. It's like, Lord, I can't go back to church now, or I can't go back and start reading my Bible now. God would never take me back. I want you to know, Jesus put this story in the Bible for you. He wants you to know that the Heavenly Father is waiting for you just to even glance his way. He's waiting for you just to say, God, I want to come back to myself and come home and come to you. And so the father ran. He just ran after the son. He couldn't wait to get to the son. And he kissed the son and he hugged the son and he loved the son. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and no longer am I worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, bring out the best robe and clothe my son. Give a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet. Bring the fattened calf, slaughter, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. And everyone began to be merry and to celebrate. There's nothing you could do right now that would make God more happy, more excited. There would even be a big party in heaven right now if someone listening to this would say, you know what, I'm coming to myself. I'm going to go after this Jesus Christ. I am tired of living with the pigs. I am tired of just struggling every day and hating myself and hating my life. I am tired of what I've become, and I'm just going to totally surrender and run to God. And you're going to find the same Father that this young man found. You're going to find a Father who's going to give you a Holy Ghost party. You're going to find a Father who has so much food for you. You're going to find a Father that has the greatest life that you can ever imagine and will not hold your sin against you. His son died. Jesus Christ died so that sin would be forgiven. Praise God. And he says now, for this son of mine was dead and lived again and was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. But here we go. Here's the part I want you to see. But the older son was in a field, and having come as he drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And having called one of the children, he inquired what this may be. And the child said to him, your brother came, and your father killed the fattened calf because he received him back in good health. Okay? So he's going, wait. Hey, come here a minute. What's going on here? What's all this music? Why is there a party? What's happening? And so this person tells this older brother, hey, it's great. It's great. Your brother's back. Your younger brother's back. And he's fine. He's in good health. And your father's so excited. He's having this great party. But instead of being excited that his brother wasn't dead, instead of being excited that his brother was home, that they could have that relationship restored, he instead became angry. That's jealousy. That's jealousy. He thinks that he was the one that the Father should love. Many people think that God should only bless them. Many people think they've done so much for God. They've worked so hard for God, and they don't understand God. They don't understand this awesome God who has enough blessing for everybody. He has enough for everyone. He wants to love everyone. He wants to bless and heal and deliver everyone. People just don't seem to understand him.